J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
I've used every swear man across the desert fair, man, in the mountain air, man, cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used cocksucker, motherfucker, asshole, shit, sucker, dick, wad, fuck, wad, shit, dick, ass, prick, blowjob, cock, drop, bitch, ass, nut job, pen, dick, big prick, suck, dick, ass, shit, ass, back, bag, head, cum, lick, dirt, bag, dog, fuck, non, crock, stink, puss, job. I've used every swear, man, cross the desert, fair, man, in the mountain, air, man, cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used ass, five, fast, clown, bumble, fuck, chick, clown, chicken, chuffle, clisser, fuck, cum, bubble, cum, fuck, dick, face, dip, shit, douchebag, fuck, wet, ass, rag, dick, smack, cock, butt, clit, hat, hoochie, mama, finger, head, fuck, tar, dick, head, punk, ass, jack, shit, butt, ranger, dick, lick. I've used every swear, man, cross the desert, fair, man, in the mountain, air, man, cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used ass, blast, ass, friend, ass, breath, ass, white, bean, flick, butt, munch, candy, ass, butt, white, chicken, chick, cock, holster, cunt, sucker, dick, brain, dick, wad, dick, head, dick, munch, dick, paint, dumb, fuck, fart, knuckle, fuck, a bitch, fuck, head, fuck, base, fudge, packer, jizz, mop, a whole back.
I've used every swear, man, cross the desert, fair, man, in the mountain, air, man, cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear.
I've used cocksucker, motherfucker, asshole, shit, sucker, dick, wad, fuck, wad, shit, dick, ass, prick, blowjob, cock, drop, bitch, ass, nut job, pen, dick, big prick, suck, dick, ass, shit, ass, back, fag, head, cum, lick, dirt, back, dog, fuck, knob, crock, stink, puss, jump.
I've used every swear, man, cross the desert, fair, man, in my underwear, man, cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. Oh, I've used every swear.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, February 23rd, 2023, 35 days until opening day, and another edition of our opening day extravaganza here on the J.C. Corcoran Podcast. This is the show that was inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame archives back in 1998. It's still there, and we freshen it every year. I just added some really, really cool stuff that you guys don't know about yet. So another month, and you'll be hearing it on opening day, 35 days away. That was interesting yesterday, a little rocking and rolling as far as the weather is concerned. It's just capable of doing anything at this time of year. And, you know, people forget that the heaviest snowfall totals that we tend to get in St. Louis is in the month of March. There have been some 7 inches and some 9 inches that we've had over the years. And, don't take your eye off the ball. But as I said yesterday, it's sort of amazing that we're all not in the hospital with the temperature fluctuations. You know, lately it's 60, it's 70, and then it's 20, and then it's 30, and then it's 70 again, and then it's 20 again. And we have at least another 2 months of that to look forward to. 1 year anniversary of Vladimir Putin pulling the trigger and saying, we're going in. And, you know, he's got to be wondering right now, what do I have to do? You already bombed schools and the hospitals, and the orphanages, the apartment buildings. People don't have any electricity. They have no internet. They have no running water. They have no electricity. They got not much of anything. And they're still sitting there saying, that's all you got, Vladimir? Fuck yourself. I'm on my second Ukraine flag first one got all torn up from the hot weather and the wind and then the cold and then the rain and then more wind and the whole thing. It just burned up. So, you know, you get on Amazon, it's like $15. And for the life of me, I don't understand why more people aren't doing that. I really don't understand. In my view, we should be thinking about this Ukraine situation all the time. If not just from a humanitarian standpoint, but also from a world political standpoint. I mean, we're teetering on the verge of World War III here. Now, do I think it's going to happen? I don't think so. But, you know, when they reset the doomsday clock to like 30 seconds to midnight, it should get your attention a little bit. So, you know, I just watch these people who are just seem to be made of iron. So, you know, everything that Vladimir Putin has done up until now, you can't say it didn't work because he's killed so many people and he's destroyed so much stuff. But at the end of the day, they're still sitting there going, we ain't moving. As long as China stays out of it, China gets involved, we got some deep shit to wade through. But anyhow, you'll see lots of stuff, retrospectives and commemorizations, I guess you would say, of the one-year anniversary of the war. Speaking of the war, 1991 on this date. God, I remember it like it was yesterday. So I think people will recall, I think it was in January of 1991, just after the first of the year, and you knew there was trouble brewing in the Middle East. And, you know, Saddam Hussein's funking around, and he's stomping around and snorting and everything. And they were like, finally, all right, that's enough. Here comes your shock and awe. Although the shock and awe didn't really work as well as I think a lot of people. If you remember CNN, this is the first time we saw a war break out in real time. It was Wolf Blitzer and John Holloman, and I'm trying to remember who the third guy was. There's a third guy, and they were broadcasting on CNN live around the world. And, you know, in fact, as the war progressed, there were people who were saying that the enemies, they were sitting there with their satellite dishes watching CNN trying to figure out what was going on. And CNN was in the delicate position of having to report the news and at the same time not give away any governmental or military secrets. It was a weird time. And if you were around in 1991, you remember all of this. You remember the entire thing and you remember where you were. And everybody was sitting there watching. And it's sort of like the way the thing with Putin is now. It's like the war is going, but the sort of tripwire in the whole thing is, just don't let China get involved and don't let Putin think that he's going to pull something nuclear. Well, in 1991, the whole idea was, okay, we're going to bomb the shit out of you guys, but at least we don't have a ground war going on. We don't have soldiers going in on foot because then you're going to have massive casualties. And so right now, this is basically an air war. We fly over, we drop all the bombs, we bomb the shit out of them. And until or unless something happens with regard to soldiers, American boots on the ground going in, going, all right, now we're going to have a real fucking war and people are going to die. As long as that didn't happen, everything was cool. And, you know, after that first weekend where everybody is sitting there watching CNN going, I can't believe what I'm watching here. We're watching this war break out. At the end of the week, people were so mentally exhausted from the experience that they really needed what Mike Myers and Dana Carvey and Lorne Michaels and the writers at Saturday Night Live pulled off. The country really needed this. I remember having a conversation with Dennis Miller about this a couple of months after all of this, and he was like, no, I think it was really cathartic for the country. They really needed to see something like this after watching the whole thing. And what I'm talking about is, you know, Wayne and Garth, Wayne's World, Saturday Night Live. Many of you will remember this.
Saturday Night Live will be seen immediately following this excellent report.
You are watching Cable 10, Aurora, Illinois Community Access Channel.
Wayne's World Special Report, party time, excellent!
Welcome to Wayne's World Special Report. I'm your excellent and informed host, Wayne Campbell. With me, as always, is Garth.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. Okay. For the last 72 hours, all we've been doing is watching television coverage of the war in the Gulf. Non-stop!
We haven't been out of this basement in 3 days!
We got 3 sets down here, man. It's a media circus! One set is on CNN, one set is on NBC, and one's on ABC. We didn't even bother with CBS because I'm sorry. Their coverage sucks. Dan Rather, not. Okay, we've been surviving on a diet of Pizza Hut pizza and Jolt Cola. So we're a little fried.
Yeah, man.
But we're riding a humongoid caffeine and sugar buzz. I mean, I could bend spoons with my mind.
I'm so tired that for a while there, I was starting to hallucinate, man. At about 4 in the morning, Garrick Utley started to look like an alien. I just wanted to grab his big head and go, aah!
Okay, our job tonight is more to inform than to entertain, because after 72 hours of nonstop three-set intense watching, I mean, we got so sucked into the coverage, you know, we didn't even bother to go upstairs. I mean, we just whizzed in the laundry room sink, you know? So, I don't mean to be conceited, but we are now experts in the field of military hardware and media coverage. All right, Garth, quiz me.
All right, what is the range and speed of the Patriot missile?
All right, the MIM-104 Patriot, a surface-to-air missile with a range of 37 miles at a speed of Mach 3, primarily used against aircraft, yes, but battle-tested for the first time against Scuds.
He shoots his Scuds! Okay. Right. Excellent!
All right. Okay. All right, okay, now it's time for the best-worst list of media coverage.
Best-worst, party time, excellent!
Okay, best name of a correspondent.
Britt Hume, ABC. Jeez, I wish that was my name. It sounds like James Bond, you know?
Hume, Britt Hume.
All right. Congratulations, good work, my friend. Okay. Okay, worst name. CNN Pentagon correspondent Wolf Blitzer.
It's so obvious the guy made it up for the war.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
I know. It's like, hi, we now take you to our war correspondent, Howitzer Explosion Guy. Okay. Best military hardware name, Scud.
Scud! Scud! A Soviet-made short-range ballistic missile with a speed of Mach 1 and a range of 300 miles.
Good work, my friend.
Excellent.
Yeah, okay. Woo! You know, the first time I heard the word Scud, I thought it was like, you know when you see like a really pretty chick walking down the street, you know, about 30 feet away, and you go, hello, babe alert, right? But when you get closer, you go, oh my God, she's a Scud. What a Scud! You know, and just like the missiles, right? You've got medium-range chick scuds and long-range chick scuds. It's brutal.
All right, worst map. Nightline, ABC. What were they thinking?
No, it's like a sandbox. I built a volcano in the third grade that looked better. Okay, best video, the Pentagon smart bomb tape. You know, the one that's so accurate it goes through the door? You know, the bomb that goes, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Ka.
Ka who?
Kaboom! Okay, worst going to commercial war theme.
CNN, man, it was just a bunch of drums.
Hey, spend some money, it's a war. Boom, boom, boom. All right, best haircut, Ted Koppel. It looks natural.
Not! Side part, watch the wind, Ted! Whoa! All right. Interesting opening line in a network program.
Okay, easy. Live from New York, it's Saturday night!
You might think I'm overplaying this, but the country really needed that. Next time we have Dana Carvey or Mike Myers on the show, I'm going to go back and ask him about that. But here's the story that goes with it, because, I mean, again, this was the war breaking out, the shock and awe thing. Everybody's watching it on TV. It was almost like watching some sort of video game. Well, now you fast forward to February 23rd. So it's over a month later, back in 1991. And I'm in New York. I was there to see some sort of movie and do some interviews. I don't remember because this story dwarfed that one. So my wife at the time had a friend who was the assistant to Tom Brokaw at NBC News. I mean, his desk was right next to Tom Brokaw. And so we call him up and like, hey, we're coming to town. Can you get us some Saturday Night Live tickets? And that's really about the only way you can get in anymore. It's impossible to get into Saturday Night Live. But, you know, we did. Now, there's two ways to get in. One way is to really know somebody important. Then you get in for the actual show at 11:30 Eastern Time. But they do the dress rehearsal at 8 o'clock. And I enjoy that even more because that's an extra half hour of material. And they're sort of trying stuff out and they're recording it. I mean, it's being taped, but it's not going out over the air. They're doing the show pretty much as if it's really on the air. But they're also, if they blow a line, they screw around or something like that, they have a little laugh. And sometimes there'll be a little bit of an interruption. But they do 2 hours of material. Show's only 90 minutes. So obviously, you're going to be seeing some sketches that don't make the show. And it's all, and also, they move stuff around. Stuff that might have been at the beginning of the show, now it's at the end. Stuff at the end has now been moved up, depending what the reaction was. You go home and you watch it on TV and you watch Weekend Update and you see how all the jokes have been changed because in the dress rehearsal at 8 o'clock, maybe the joke didn't work that well. So they have a half an hour basically to go back into their offices and rewrite the joke. And then they put that on the air at 11:30. So in this particular case, we're there for the dress rehearsal at 8 o'clock, and it's being hosted by Dana Carvey and Mike Myers. They were the hosts. I forget who the musical guest was. I'd have to look it up. Saturday Night Live, February 23rd, 1991. Oh, geez, how did I ever forget this? That's right. It wasn't Mike Myers and Dana Carvey. They were just, wait a minute, I'm getting really confused here. Hold on, I got to read this here. All right, so, oh, okay, that's right. That's right, I remember this now. So, it was episode 300, by the way. The host was Alec Baldwin. That's right, it was Alec Baldwin. And that's where I saw Whitney Houston do I'll Be Your Baby Tonight. All right, this is all coming back to me now. Anyhow, frankly, none of that has anything to do with the story. All I was, so we were sitting there. The guy's name that was Tom Brokaw's assistant, by the way, this guy's name was Emmett Kelly, which is funny because that's the famous clown, Emmett Kelly. But anyhow, that's his real name. So we go up there. We hang around a little bit at his desk. I'm looking at Tom Brokaw's desk. I'm looking at what's there. And he's like, I wouldn't touch anything. I was like, I won't. Don't take any pictures either. All right, I won't, I promise. So we go into the studio and we're sitting there, we're waiting, and it's me and my now ex-wife and Emmett, Tom Brokaw's assistant. And we're sitting there, we're watching the show, really enjoying it. Again, this is the dress rehearsal. And all of a sudden, there's a little commotion behind us about, I don't know, maybe a half an hour into the show. And a guy who looks like maybe he's like intern or something runs up full speed to Emmett Kelly, the guy who's sitting with us, and whispers something in his ear. And Emmett leans over to me and says, I gotta go. The ground war is breaking out in 2 hours. And I freaked because not only did I know now that war in the Persian Gulf was going to explode both figuratively and literally, and a lot of people were going to die. But now I'm thinking to myself, how many people in the world know that the ground war is going to break out in 2 hours? Obviously, NBC News had been tipped off by somebody at the Pentagon. They're like, get ready, get everybody lined up, call Tom and tell him he's got to come in and get your news department ready because this is about 2 hours away. And I'm thinking to myself, how many people can actually know this information? And how in the hell can one of those people be me? Still, when I think about this, it just blows my mind. So we finished watching the show. It was a great show, by the way. And we came out. And by the time we came out of the show, there were you started to hear rumblings about something going on in the Persian Gulf. And that was when the ground war broke out. And the rest is history. But just think about that. How many? It couldn't have been more than a couple hundred people who knew. They didn't tell the soldiers exactly what was going on. The general public didn't know anything. So really, when it came down to it, it was probably the news organizations, the people in the White House, some government officials, and the Pentagon. And it couldn't have amounted to more than a couple hundred people. But yet, one of them was me. Still, like I said, just absolutely blows my mind. On this date back in 1991. Man,
I'd like to talk a little bit about the war in the Persian Gulf. Big doings in the Persian Gulf. You know my favorite part of that war? It's the first war we ever had that was on every channel plus cable. And the war got good ratings too, didn't it? Got good ratings. Well, we like war. We like war. We're a warlike people. We like war because we're good at it. You know why we're good at it? Because we get a lot of practice. This country's only 200 years old, and already we've had 10 major wars. We average a major war every 20 years in this country, so we're good at it. And it's a good thing we are. We're not very good at anything else anymore. Huh? Can't make a TV set or a VCR worth a fuck. Got no steel industry left, can't educate our young people, can't get health care to our old people, but we can bomb the shit out of your country, all right. Huh? We can bomb the shit out of your country, all right. Especially if your country is full of brown people. Oh, we like that, don't we? That's our hobby. That's our new job in the world, bombing brown people. Iraq, Panama, Grenada, Libya, you got some brown people in your country. Tell them to watch the fuck out, or we'll goddamn bomb them. Well, when's the last white people you can remember that we bombed? Can you remember the last white? Can you remember any white people we've ever bombed? The Germans, those are the only ones, and that's only because they were trying to cut in on our action. They wanted to dominate the world. Bullshit, that's our fucking job.
Wonder what the hell George Carlin would be saying about the state of the world today if he were still around. My God. Well, I'm telling that Persian Gulf war story. It's one of the best stories I have, but also it just makes my skin crawl on top of it. All right. Speaking of politics, and we don't do politics here unless it is absolutely unavoidable. And I think it's unavoidable right now because the Democrats are scratching their heads going, what do we do now? What do we do now? If you've noticed, it appears that they're pushing Kamala Harris out there a little more lately, basically saying, well, let's test the waters. Let's see if we can get her poll numbers to come up because she got shitty poll numbers. People are like, you know, we're sort of split on Biden, but we're okay. But Kamala Harris just ain't catching on. And they obviously know that and thinking to themselves, well, we better get her out there and give her something to do. I mean, she really hasn't done anything. We get her out there and have something to do. So I think they're sort of like in repair mode in terms of her image and the perception people have of her. I don't know if it's going to work. Because if you look down the line at who else they have on the bench, you know, somebody from the Democratic National Committee going, is that Dukakis down there? No, he's gone. Walter Mondale still? No, he's gone too. Who do we have in the bullpen? It appears nobody. And in 2 years, they have to know what they're going to do with her because maybe that's the reason Biden is saying he's still going to run. And I'm against the idea of Biden running again. But you shouldn't have to be 80 years old or even in your 70s before somebody decides that you're capable of running the country. And just think about the campaign. I heard Chris Christie talking about this on Stephanopoulos the other day, and I think he's right. You know, a campaign, just talking about the campaign, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 stops a day for months. All that traveling, all of that pressure, all of that, all the speeches, people grabbing at you and everything like that. You're 80 years old, and can you imagine the number of gaffes that he's going to commit? And it's going to, I think, shake the confidence of Democrats who were like, okay, well, we don't want to vote for Republicans. We're Democrats. But at the same time, geez, he looks like he's going to fall over. But like I said, who you got in the bullpen? Pete Buttigieg, maybe in a couple of more election cycles, he's got to get some foreign policy in there. And then I think I'm very, very excited about the political future of Pete Buttigieg. But they ain't going to help anybody now. We need somebody now. The only way Kamala Harris ends up surviving this, I think, is if Biden runs again and wins, or if somehow Biden has to step away. You know, like either he says, look, I've been told, my doctors have told me I'm gonna die out here if I keep doing this, so I'm handing the keys over to Kamala Harris. Or, heaven forbid, should Joe Biden become incapacitated or die, and then Kamala Harris becomes president, now you could have sort of like that Gerald Ford factor involved. When Gerald Ford survived the whole thing with Richard Nixon, and people were like, well, just, you know, get behind him because the country's been through hell, and he's up there trying to do the best he can. I'm not a Republican, but let's get behind this Gerald Ford guy because it's just the right thing to do if you're more concerned about the country than you are political parties. So maybe that's how she survives. I don't know. But I'm watching this Larry Hogan, the governor from what is it, Maryland, and then the other one is I told you this a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sticking with it. I have this funny feeling that the Republican nominee for president in 2024 is going to be Mike Pompeo. All right, just watch. Just remember, you heard it here on the 23rd of February, 2023, that J.C. Corcoran said that Mike Pompeo is going to be the guy who is going to be the Republican nominee for president. I really think I'm on to something here. All right, the CNN story just keeps getting freakier and freakier. Does everybody know the story? So this is Jeffrey Zucker, who ran the Today Show, ran NBC, and was very well thought of. And then he's running CNN, and he starts hooking up with one of the subordinates. This, by the way, is the little chubby bald guy with glasses, and he's still getting side action. It's just unbelievable. So he's got to resign. They find out about it. He's got to resign. And they start looking for somebody to run CNN. So they call up Stephen Colbert, and they go, this is Chris Licht, who is the executive producer of Colbert. We think we want him to be the president of CNN. He goes, I'm the producer of a comedy late night show. They're like, no, you can do this. And so they bring him in, they hire him, and Chris Licht is running CNN. Well, the first thing they do is they bring Don Lemon from At Night, and they put him on in the morning, and they really start pumping a lot of energy into the CNN morning show. They believe, and Chris Licht believes, that this is like a key to the whole thing. You got to make CNN's morning show a really, really big deal. Still scratching my head over that one. Then, a couple of other curious moves. Well, now the story is, and by the way, we've been hearing rumors that they're going to hire a comedian. They want to hire a comedian to be part of CNN. The ratings have been lousy, and I can see, you know, the idea of maybe trying some, I don't say tricks or gimmicks, but try something a little bit different. And look at Monday Night Football. Put Dennis Miller on. Put him in the booth along with the play-by-play guys, all right? It didn't work, but it wasn't the worst idea I've ever heard. It's just that it didn't seem to work. And maybe they're thinking about something along the lines of The Daily Show, where you're talking about the news, but you're just sort of making fun of it. So maybe if they do something like that, I could see that working. I'm not really sure that that's what CNN should be doing. That makes me uneasy. So in this case, Chris Licht is like, all right, we need to do some different things here. And so we have done this stuff with Don Lemon and the morning show and the whole thing. The next move, supposedly, is he wants to hire Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley, in word of this, as you might expect, started spreading through CNN. And people are like, what the fuck are you, what? And I think for good reason. What are you doing? And why? I mean, most of the time, I can watch stuff and the way these guys move these hosts around and news organizations make changes and news departments try to tweak things and everything. And you watch and you go, okay, I don't know if I agree with that or not. We'll see if it works. But at least I understand what they're trying to do. This one, no, I have no idea. And this is from somebody who, oh gosh, you know, back in the early 80s, it was not uncommon for me to have CNN on, you know, like 16, 18 hours a day. Sometimes on weekends, I would just turn on. You know, you get that Bernard Shaw, and it was like John Holliman. You had all these, I think you had Bobby Batista originally was on CNN. She moved over to CNN Headline News eventually. But you had all these, you had Keith Olbermann. He used to do the afternoon sports during the week. Lou Dobbs. Oh, what was his name? Lou Dobbs is the financial guy who went over to Fox. Who's the other guy? I'm looking right at this guy, and I can't think of his name. I can see him in my head. Well, of course, Larry King at night. They had Crossfire, Tom Braden, and Robert Novak, the original hosts on that. They went through some changes, and eventually Tucker Carlson. People forget he was on CNN. Why can't I think of this guy's name? Bernard Shaw. Like I said, I mentioned him already. He was real solid. Candy Crowley. People forget Greta Van Susteren was on. Bill Hemmer, who's on Fox now, he was originally on CNN. Martin Savage. I cannot think of this guy's name. It's driving me crazy. Allison Kosick makes me hot, by the way. I don't know what it is about that woman. Oh, Christiane Amanpour. Oh, Peter Arnett. Peter Arnett was the other guy doing the Persian Gulf War live stuff from under the table in the hotel during the Persian Gulf War. Peter Arnett, that was the other name I was thinking of, but I still can't think of the name of this guy. Lou Waters was the guy. It just seemed like he was always on, and he was a really, really solid anchor guy. I used to watch it all the time. Then they went from being news to being, you know, opinion and discussion and talking heads, and I've not liked it really since. That's why I'm sort of liking this News Nation thing, this News Nation, the gal from Channel 5 in St. Louis used to be there, and she's over News Nation now. And that's what it is. It's news. It's not people sitting around giving their personal opinions about stuff. It's news stories. They need to work on it a little bit, but I think they're on to something. And then if you ever watch News Nation, you see there's this guy named Leland Vittert. I don't know if people remember this. Those of you who've been around St. Louis long enough and were watching Donnybrook from sort of like the beginning, one of the original hosts of Donnybrook was Mark Vittert. He was the owner and publisher of the St. Louis Business Journal. And he ended up selling that back in the 80s. He sold the Business Journal for God knows how many millions of dollars. And then he took off. You don't really see him anymore around St. Louis because he retired with all that wad of money up to a place in the very, very tip of Lower Michigan. So you're going all the way up there past pretty much everything. And you're like, even you're past Traverse City. You're up there and there's this little tiny little finger that sticks out into Lake Michigan called Leland, Michigan. That's where Mark Vittert lives. And he named his son Leland, and Leland Vittert is one of the hosts on News Nation. If for some reason you're waking up today and you're not feeling that good about yourself, just remember, at least your name is not Kim Gardner. How is this story going to play out? The calls for her resignation, even from longtime supporters and allies, including the mayor, the kid who committed this crime, 21 years old, had over 100 bond violations. And yet, when officials were asked about this last night, they were basically telling the media, no, this is not incompetence or somebody who fell through the cracks. This system just needs overhauling, and it's not any one person's fault. So I know a lot of people are really, really mad about Kim Gardner, but again, if you're listening to the experts, they're telling you, no, this does not trace back to like one person's incompetence. It sure seems odd to me that that's not what it turns out to be, at least according to these city officials they were talking to last night. Headline, Florida man charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon after he threw an alligator through a drive-through window at Wendy's. That might be the most Florida story I've ever read. The kid's defense, by the way, is that he did have a concealed alligator permit. The Motion Picture Film Academy has assembled a crisis team for the Oscars this year because of last year's slap by you know who. An executive said, let's hope something doesn't happen and we never have to use these, but we already have the framework in place. Lindsay Lohan, Rachel McAdams, Amanda Seyfried, and Lacey Chook were reportedly in talks to appear in the new musical version of Mean Girls, but the studio offered them, and this is a quote here, an insulting amount of money in negotiations were stalled. Late night today, Anthony Mackie, who is going to win an Academy Award, it's only a matter of time. This kid is an amazing actor. Anthony Mackie, I'm with Jimmy Kimmel, and Colbert has Hank Azaria and Depeche Mode. Where'd they come from? All right, I told you I was going to tell you about my trip to the Villages the other night. Now, I got a friend who has a brother-in-law who bought a house for their mother and father down there. It's about a $2 million place. It's just beautiful. And you come walking in, you've heard all these stories about the Villages. I guess there was some reality TV show on it. There have been documentaries on it. There have been stories done on it. And it's sort of like, well, let me put it this way. I remember in my waning days of college at Northern Illinois University back in the mid-1970s, and it was actually something my sister said, and I really took it to heart, and I really started to think about it a lot. I got a sister who's 5 years older than me. She's always been very, very wise. And she said, you know, the thing about college is you're never going to be in a situation like this again, where in that particular case, it was almost 24,000 kids, you know, kids 18 to 21, pretty much, who are all in the same place in very close quarters, and all with essentially the same goal, which is to get out of here with a degree. And you're never going to find yourself in a place like that again. Well, guess what? She was wrong this time, because the Villages is basically college for senior citizens. Now, you've also heard about the VD, and I believe that too, because here's the deal. You know, when you were 16, 17 years old, if you're a woman, you always remember these guys running around with these hot rods, you know, and it would be back then, it might have been a Plymouth Duster or something like that. You know, these guys soup up their cars and then they, you know, they find out where everybody is going to be on a Friday night. And then they show up with these souped up cars, all this tricked out stuff. And they're, you know, they're trying to get attention. Well, in the Villages, the version of that is just, it's golf carts. You wouldn't believe, I've never seen anything like this. First of all, there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of golf carts. This area is just drenched in money. It's just soaked in money. I used to think I knew some rich people. Oh, I don't know shit. I don't know where these people got their money, but it's just everywhere. But these guys get these pimped out golf carts, and somebody explained to me, they said, if you can think it, these people who make these golf carts can make it for you. So if you want your golf cart to look like the old 69 Mets golf cart that would bring the relief pitcher in from center field, they'll make one for you. There was a guy driving around with a golf cart that looked like a Rolls Royce. There was just everything you can imagine. Like I said, if you can think it, they can make one of these golf carts. And that's sort of like the new hot rod. There's so many parallels, you know, so many things that are similar to what happened when we were kids. It's just that we all lived our lives, we made our money, and now here we are in our 70s and 80s. And now this is just this is the current expression of all the stuff we did when we were teenagers. There's something like 100 golf courses within just that region there in Central Florida. This is just outside Orlando. There's a lot of VD. That is absolutely understandable. You can just see it. When you go into, they have these little downtowns that when you show up, it's sort of like, it looks like a movie set. Because it's, yeah, it's a downtown, but it doesn't look real. It looks like somebody said, all right, we need to shoot a scene for Back to the Future 11 here. And so, you know, build a little city square here. And it's like, okay, oh, good. You almost got it. It almost looks real. But it isn't real. It just looks phony. It looks manufactured. What else we got here? Oh. There's one part, I wish I could have taken the picture, but we had traffic behind us, and I wasn't able to stop. But apparently everybody knows about this in the Villages as well. There's a sign, and the sign says, asshole's neighbor. And across the street is a guy with all this Trump stuff all over the front yard. And everybody stands there and gets their picture taken with this sign that says, asshole's neighbor. And apparently everybody knows about this guy. We saw thousands of people that night, and we saw one black guy, one. But you start asking around about, you know, who these people all are. And in my particular case, one of the people who this $2 million house is a former Teamster. A $2 million house just fell off the truck, if you know what I mean. But, oh, and the food. Oh, I had this thing called Salmon Oscar, which is salmon on a bed of risotto, and then there's hollandaise on it and asparagus, and I'm trying to remember. Oh, and crab meat. And it was one of the best meals I've had, like, in the last year. They have these championship chefs who run the restaurants. So you have it, again, it's like college, but with better food, and we're older. Why am I saying we? I don't live there. I don't know why I said it, but the money. God! So it's off the Florida bucket list. One more thing that I can talk about now and joke about, because I have seen it with my own two eyes. I'm not necessarily compelled to want to go back, but at least I have seen it now. All right, birthdays today. Dakota Fanning is 29. Emily Blunt, 40. Aziz Ansari, 40. Josh Gad, Olaf the Snowman in Frozen, 42. There was a story going around that he was going to portray Roger Ebert in a movie about Siskel and Ebert, but I guess the thing fell through. Haven't heard anything more about it. Mark Price, St. Louis, and Skippy from Family Ties is 55. Tom Baudette's going to leave the light on for you at 68. Kristen Davis, Charlotte from Sex and the City, is 58. Howard Jones, Things Can Only Get Better. What is Love? 68. Bradley Whitford, the other Bradley Whitford, Aerosmith's rhythm guitarist, 71. Patricia Richardson, Tim Allen's wife on Home Improvement, is 72. And get this, Viagra will no longer be shipped to Russia due to the war in Ukraine. Oh, those poor Russians. So much for a long, hard winter. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Thursday, February 23rd, 2023 is in the can. We got 35 days until opening day. The pitchers and well, the Cardinals have their first exhibition game coming up, and some of these games are going to be on TV here over the course of the next couple of days. We're here every weekday morning at 11. We'll let you know when the new radio station flips on. I know we're close. They keep telling me. You can email me, jc@jconline.com. On Facebook, you can find me at the Showground with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day, everybody. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.